Blog Talk Radio.
All right, hello and welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome to Reign in Love Ministries. Amen. I have my co-host, I believe he's on the line, Elder Bazaar, the Watchman on the Wall. We will be on his show tomorrow, amen, at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. East Coast. If you're on the West Coast, that will be 2 p.m. your time. Amen. We're talking about end-time ministries. We are bringing what's going on to the world to the forefront. Amen. We want you all to be ready for the return of Christ. We believe, amen, we believe that Christ is due to return soon based on the signs of the times, amen, that we are living in.
Come on, brother.
Glad that you're here. Amen. There he is. Amen. We are sounding the alarm for the church. Amen. For the believers as well as the non-believers. Amen. As I told you last week, amen, spoke at the church. Two young men in their 20s came forward, and their girlfriends are soon to follow. Amen. Came in and got saved. Amen. What a wonderful feeling to enlarge the kingdom of heaven. Amen. That is what we are here for. We are vessels to be used to allow the Most High God to use our talents, our gifts for his purpose. Amen. To grow the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So I'm so grateful for that. Grateful for this opportunity. We'd like to thank Derek Oliver and his team. Amen. For Chaos Talk Radio. Again, thank my co-host, Watchman on the Wall, Elder Bazaar, for being on the air with me. Amen. We're going to get into some things about end time events. We're going to go back to the book of Revelation. And we're not going to be long, so we're just going to go ahead and say a quick prayer. We're going to get right into it. We're going to talk about some things. I'm going to speak for a few seconds. Then I'm going to give it over to the brother to see what he has to say. Amen. And we're going to get this thing moving, amen, because the time is short. Once again, we believe that Christ is due to soon return. Amen. Some things going on in the world that they are not telling folks about. Amen. They want to keep it on the hush because why? They want to keep you entertained, keep you blinded. They don't want you to notice something. Amen. They don't want you to see that Christ is soon to return to get the church. Amen. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and say a quick prayer. I'm going to say a few things. I'm going to turn over to Elder Bazaar as he come forward. Amen. He's going to bring us some knowledge. Amen. Some scriptural knowledge on eschatology and end-time events. Amen? Amen. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, our soul, our health, our strength. What can we say other than we are thankful and grateful for this opportunity, thankful for this chance to be born again. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you most of all for the greatest gift bestowed unto mankind, which is eternal life. We thank you for saving men's soul. We thank you for saving our souls today. Amen. We thankful that the word is going forward and people are still being saved today. That is not over yet. Amen. For Lord, if you choose not to come, amen, soon, amen. Amen. It's your will, amen. But we believe that you'll be arriving soon to get the church. Amen. But again, amen, we are not weary and well-doing. Amen. We're going to keep going and pressing on and doing your holy will. Amen. If you say, amen, that we have to be here the rest of our days, amen, and preach this gospel, amen, we're going to abide and do so. Amen. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get into the word today. Take a look at some things. Amen. I've been under the weather for past weekend. Amen. You know, this weather's been changing so much, it's kind of been getting on my nerves. One moment is warm, the next moment is cold, and the next moment is warm and it's cold, and so it's just kind of bouncing back and forth. So I'm just a little under the weather, but I feel a lot better than what I felt last Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Oh my goodness, it was just not good. Amen, but all glory be to the Most High God. Thank you for modern medicine and for him blessing man's mind. So I'm a little drugged up, amen. I took enough drugs today, so I'm feeling a little bit better. Amen, I know it's going to be better. Amen, we give it all to the Most High. Pray that he give me strength this hour and a half. Hey, amen. I thank Elder Bazaar for coming on to help me out this evening. With that being said, amen, let's go ahead and take a look at some scriptures. Amen. And just want to deal with the mark of the beast. I'm going to also talk about, amen, some of the scriptures that I used in last week's sermon. Amen. When the young people came forth and gave their life to Christ, man, I tell you, there's no greater feeling in the world to be a part of someone's salvation. I'm going to tell you that right now. Amen. Because I know it ain't me. Amen. I'm just a tool. It's only part of me. Amen. I'm just being obedient. Amen. But, you know, when you speak a word, amen, and whatever, you know, whatever was on those young people's mind, we never know what's on people's mind. Amen. We thank God for his grace and his mercy and his word, just his Holy Spirit flowing through me to say the right things at the right time, to encourage someone. Yes, this is what I want to be a part of, Kingdom Heavenly Father. Salvation is just that easy. I tell people all the time, man, salvation is easy. And you know, as I know, when you're young, teenager in your 20s, it's not an easy choice to make the choice and want to come to Christ, because there's so many worldly distractions. We know that the world distracts us. We know that the world loses from, man, he got the young people just going with clubbing, fun. That's why sex is on high promotion, pornography. Man, they promote sex to all ages now. They don't care. It could be an elementary kid. They're promoting sex. I know they were doing this back when we were kids, amen. But I'm just saying, the devil wants to distract you as many ways as possible so that you won't see God. Amen. He wants to distract you so you fall in love with the world, with the lust of the flesh. What all does the flesh want? What all does the flesh do? The devil will come up and, amen, he'll poison your mind if you're not careful. This is why the Bible said we must train up a child in the way that they should go. For when they get old, they will not depart. Now, I said that to say this, amen, that is a very true saying. If you train them up, train them means to take part, to participate in their understanding. That's what training is, to participate in one's understanding. So if I'm to train my child, that's why the Bible says train them as a child, not as a teenager, not as an adolescent, not as a young adult, but as a child. Don't you know it's easier to teach a child salvation? Romans 10, chapter verses 9, 10. Most kids, if you are a righteous influence in their life, like they look up to you and they believe you and they trust you, if you train them up, don't you know it's easy for a child to receive salvation once you explain heaven to them? It was nothing, amen, for me to train my children in the way of salvation. And when they was in elementary class, I said, you know what? They're before 12 or around that age, before 12. This is the easiest time, the best time to teach them about salvation is before they turn 12, because they're receptive. Amen. If they trust you, they love you, they believe in you, then kids believe that you will not lead them astray. Amen. But if you lead them out in the world system, man, that person, amen, may not make it. Amen. Again, if you leave out them the world system to let the world train them, they may not be so easily convincible. You can do it, but I highly recommend that people don't wait till their kids get teenagers and they're surely not in their early 20s. Amen. It can be done, but if you are a church goer, you're a believer yourself, you should be training your kids when they're in elementary, little bitty kids, second, third, fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade, before they become teenagers. Why? Because it's much more simpler. That's why the Bible instructs us to train up a child. Amen. Because kids absorb everything at a very young age. They're just like sponges, so you have to be careful what we set before them, because if we set before them a lot of things like thievery or, you know, some type of anything like witchcraft or anything like that, amen, then we have to train them the proper way, amen? So, amen, kind of going off subject, I'm sorry. Amen, let me get that. Amen. Hopefully, I don't know. I say that I don't want the mess in the world, but it's really working on me. Amen. I tell you that. Amen. So I'm gonna try to do the show, move forward, and I want to start out in Revelation the 16th chapter. Revelation the 16th chapter. We're gonna start in verse 1. Amen. These are known as the seven vials of the wrath of God. Amen. These bowls are going to be poured out somewhere in the second half of the Great Tribulation. Amen. Somewhere in the second half of the Great Tribulation. Okay? So you have tribulation is 7 years total. 7 years. Amen. I preached that last week. Most people in the church didn't know that. Amen. How long the tribulation is going to last. Amen. This is why it's important that we do teach these things. They didn't know how long the millennial reign. And I think maybe one person may have known how long the tribulation was. I think one brother in the church knew how long the tribulation was going to last. But the tribulation is 7 years. The millennial reign is 1,000 years. The Great Tribulation is going to be the worst time in history to be alive on this planet, especially if you don't believe in God. Amen. It's going to be horrific. Nothing can prepare you, no amount of food, water, gas, whatever you think you may have, is not going to help you. Now, the wealthy, the rich, amen, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, if you're a very wealthy, rich person, amen, you're going to be able to make it through, amen, but there's going to be some other things that can happen that can take people out of this world. I tell people, don't chance it. Now's the time to get saved. Now's the time for salvation. Amen, because you don't want to miss out, amen, on salvation. You don't want to miss out on heaven. Amen. So let's go ahead and start. Let me go ahead and read Revelation 16, chapter verse 1. Put my glasses on. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." This is referring to, these are bowls, amen. This is the judgment, amen. This is judgment for those who have who? Rejected Christ, rejected God. Remember, the Great Tribulation, like I taught them last week, the Great Tribulation is not for us. Amen. I had a sister after church come up and tell me, she said, "Brother, you scared me." I said, "Well, sister, amen, my intent is not to scare anyone." Amen. But like I told her, as long as you believe, you have nothing to worry about. Trust you me. Amen. It's not about scaring people or trying to get you to know. Amen. We want to preach the truth and let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart as it dealt those young men, those young people last week, and they got saved. Amen. A beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Salvation is a beautiful thing. Amen. Amen. So, watch what it says in verse 2. And the first wind, the first who? The first angel. Amen. Because remember, these are the angels. He says seven angels. So it says, and the first angel, the first wind, and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshiped his image. Amen. Notice that the wrath, the first bowl that was poured out, affected who? Those and only those who had the mark of the beast on their forehead. Amen. It didn't bother nobody else. Amen. If you notice, it didn't bother nobody else. It didn't bother just any other people that didn't have a mark. It bothered those who had the mark of the beast, the mark of Satan, on their forehead. Amen. So now those with the mark of the beast thought they could enjoy and just buying and selling, the ease of life. I told you that the people who have money are the least affected, are going to be the least affected, but they will be greatly affected. Oh, trust you me, because there are some things in the book of Revelation and the judgment and the wrath of God that they will not and cannot escape. Amen. But they think just because they have money and they just because they accepted the mark of the beast that they got it on easy street. Amen. That's not the way it works. Amen. So you know, you get to enjoy a few worldly activities because you have the mark of the beast. You get to go and buy and sell. People still be merchants, business owners, and entrepreneurs still be making money. People will be able to buy food and stuff like that, maybe go to clubs and enjoy, you know, a little bit of the life that they once knew. Amen. But what's going to happen is once they have that mark, it's too late. Amen. Accepting the mark of the beast comes with a price. Once you accept that mark, there is no escape. It is a guarantee that you will go to hell and that you will go to the lake of fire. It is a guarantee. Amen. Amen. A guarantee. Amen. It's a price to pay, and I don't encourage no one to take that price. Amen.
All right. That was
the first bowl that was pulled out. Amen. The first bowl that was pulled out. Amen. Amen. Watch what the second angel did. Verse 3 said, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. Amen. The first vial poured out where? On the land, on the earth. The second one poured out where? In the sea, upon the sea. And it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. That's if you're deep diving. That's if you're out there swimming. That's if you're out there on the ocean fishing. That's if you're out there working in the ocean or enjoying. So you be out there on the cruise ship. The Bible says if you're out there on the sea, amen, that you would die.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That means you're going to die. So by the way, you shouldn't be out there. Amen. You shouldn't be out there in the sea at this time. But, you know, people are going to believe Satan. Just like now, they're going to continue on with their lives. They're going to believe that ain't no consequences or no wrath going to come. Ain't nothing evil going to happen to them. Can't nothing bad happen to them. That's what they believe. But as you can see, amen, from these scriptures, that the people who receive the mark of the beast, they're finally going to get it. Amen. So can you imagine how it's going to smell? Amen. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We know that sea life, amen, like fish, you know, we know that fish smell anyway. And, man, you smell. I know back in the day when our neighbors or us used to do fish, my dad in the back, they used to catch that catfish or them fish. They used to skin them, just take the scales off and cut the head off. Man, you smell that mess from miles away. Amen. So can you imagine with the death of sea life? So anything that's in the ocean, that's going to be the thing, everything. That means the stuff that they hide. So if there's mermaids out there, guess what? They're going to come up. Anything that's in the sea, at the point that the angels are going to pour that out there, it don't matter if it's a whale, a fish, an octopus, whatever it is. Even the great things in the sea that we can't see that's been hiding, going to come up. It's going to die. And it's going to stench greatly. The men's bodies going to be out of the sea. People are not going to be able to even go out there and get their bodies. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? So if
they're
out there on a cruise ship, they're just going to be dead out there on that cruise ship. All of them. All of them. If they're on an oil rig working, they're going to be all dead. You can't go get them. They're just going to be out there just stinking and rotting. The stench is going to come up. Lord have mercy.
Yes.
I bet that's going to be so unbelievable. I can tell you right now, the Gulf Coast around the world, they're going to smell that. The cities that are near the oceans, they're probably 30, 40, 50 miles. Probably, I'm going to go on a limb and say probably as deep as 100 miles is going to smell that. Maybe almost 200 miles inland is going to smell that stench. That's going to be something. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. It says the ocean become as dead men's blood, and all the fish, every fish in it will die. So not only will they be dead, you can't eat no fish,
Nothing.
I know a lot of people like to eat shrimp. Anything to do with the sea life that, that men enjoy, you won't be able to do that any longer at this point. Man.
Lord
have mercy. This is, this, you know, I remember the trumpet judgment, I think it was like one-third. But the bowls, hey man, let me go to my little notes. I believe the bowls is going to be all of the sea. Let's take a look and see what it said. Amen. Let me take a look just to be sure. Amen. Bro, I'm going to get ready to turn over to you in a minute.
Okay, well, go ahead, brother.
Amen. Yeah, this is what it said. Let me go back. So in the trumpets, it says one-third of the sea, the second trumpet says one-third of the sea becomes blood. One-third of the fish is dead. One-third of the ship's sunk. Now watch this. Now in the bowls, the second bowl, it says all the sea becomes blood and all fish is dead. So that's all sea life. All marine life is dead. So anything that's out there in the ocean, my gosh, Lord have mercy, it's going to be dead. That's it.
Yep.
This is awful, man. People think they can go through the – you won't be able to drink no water. Not enough from the ocean you won't. So this is a bad – when you picture this
bad
in your mind – that, you know, how we enjoy life now. Well, I can go right now. Me and my wife go eat steak and shrimp. We go eat, you know, whatever. You know, we go and enjoy. Right now, we enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, we enjoy good, clean water. I go into my kitchen or to my storage and get, you know, open up a clean bottle of water. We can take a good bath tonight, shower, bath, bathe, clean, water clear. Amen. We enjoy the spoils
Amen.
Of life right now, especially in this country, in America. We're enjoying
yes,
the spoils of life. We go there and use the bathroom, good clean water, nothing, no blood. These folks won't even be able to take a bath. Lord, have mercy. You got the
yes.
water on the beach. You can't drink no water. You can't take no bath. Lord, I don't know how they're going to make it. Amen. I'm going to read
Amen.
Verse 4. I'm going to get ready to turn over to the brother. I want him to read. Bring in his thought, his spiritual
all right,
wisdom, his
all right, brother.
Wealth of knowledge.
All right.
Amen. Want to share. Revelation 16:4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now again, as it was in the trumpets, we knew that only one third was affected. But now we see in the bowls, the vials is different. We see that not only one-third, but now all of us. See, now judgment has come to those who have what, accepted the mark of the beast. So you won't repent. So instead of repent, say, no, man, I don't want no part of this. One-third. They should have known something was going on. They should have known. But some
yes,
people
sir.
Have such
yes,
a reprobate
sir.
Mind. Amen. Amen,
mm-hmm.
doctor. They got such a reprobate mind that people like that. Pharaoh was like that. We saw this in Egypt. Amen. We saw a part of this
Amen.
In Egypt where Moses turned the rivers and the waters of Egypt to blood. And you would have thought Pharaoh would be like, no, man, I don't want no part of this. Go ahead and let his people go. They man, we watered the blood, and then they showed in the movie, amen. I don't know where they got it from, but they were just, and it's probably true how they thought that, oh, look, we got her. Bring that vase. Pour that water. Man, we got our magicians. They're going to take care. They poured that vase into the water and thought the water going to turn back. Then next thing you know, blood started coming out of the vase. Man, you can't play
yeah.
with God. You
no,
cannot
you
go up against
no,
the
can't.
Most High God. You ain't got nothing
oh.
for God. Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. So
Amen,
the third
brother.
Bowl, all rivers turn into blood. So that also
yeah.
that means the people are going to try to do the same thing that Pharaoh them did. They say, oh, the ocean is blood. Oh, it's all right. We got rivers and lakes and stuff. We just go get water from the river. The next thing you know, the rivers and lakes are all going to turn to blood. You ain't going to have no fresh water nowhere. So that means out in your lakes, your river, we got a lake just a few miles from where we live. And that lake is going to be stenching just like the oceans. Because the
mm-hmm.
marine life in it. It's going to come up. Whatever's in that ocean, whatever's in that lake,
all right.
it's going to die. Amen.
Come
brother.
On.
Amen. Go ahead, Doctor. I'm going to go ahead and get, but I just want to read this real quick.
Go ahead.
Exodus. I don't want to read this. Exodus. I want to show you something. Exodus, the seventh chapter. This is back during the time of Egypt when Moses had did what he had did. Amen. Exodus, seventh chapter. I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to turn over to the brother. Exodus, the seventh chapter, verses 19 through 24. This is what it reads. And the Lord spake unto Moses, said unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels in wood and in vessels of stone. Don't you know if you got bottles of water stored up in your house, in your storage, in the storage room, and a storage house, no matter where you got water, it's going to turn to blood.
Come on.
If you got a bottle of water sitting in your refrigerator, you go in and think, oh, I got water in the refrigerator, in the freezer, it's going to be blood.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, God ain't nothing to play with, man. People, get saved. God ain't nothing to play with. Get saved. Hey, like they used to say back in the day, stop playing. Amen. It says, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. Not stink. See, there's a significant difference between stink and stank. Man, let me tell you something. Stink, you can deal with a little stink. But when it stank, oh, man, you got to cover your mouth, cover your nose. You may even want to vomit. When something stank, oh, man, you can't deal with stink. You deal with stink.
No,
you can't deal with stink. Stink make you want to get somewhere. You want to run. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Let me finish reading. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. We just talked about that, how they tried to get their vials and their vases and pour it out. It didn't work. And Pharaoh's heart was hard. See, instead of his heart being softened, he got worse. See, that's a repulsive mind. Oh, I ain't going to dance. So he got mad. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. Lord have mercy. Go ahead, Doctor. Good to have you.
Look in here. Look in here. This is all bizarre. Brother, you usually do that. You usually turn me on when you get to talking about this final showdown, where God is going to meet and close his work out for the face of the earth. And in doing so, those that follow Satan, those that believe in Satan, those that trust in Satan, those that depend upon the devil during the tribulation period, this is what God is upset about. The unbeliever. The unbeliever denies the most focal point in the Bible, the most greatest event that happened in the Bible other than the creation. And that was Christ came to this earth and died for the human race. He died for the whole human race. Everybody. He died
That's
for
right.
Look at me. He died for everybody. Ain't nobody got no heaven or hell to put me in. And ain't nobody can be judge of me, and I can't be judge of nobody else. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. All
Amen.
Races, all nationalities, all kindred, and all people. A lot of people today are under the influence of Satan, and Satan has tried to pick out who go to heaven and who don't go to heaven and how to heaven. He got all kind of antique religions and antique occults that's on the face of the earth that comes from fallen angels and wicked spirits that is covering the earth right now. The devil has his cohorts. The devil has his army. And since we're living in the last days, the last days, I ain't talking about 4 or 5 or maybe 8 years from now. I'm talking about the last days before
Amen.
Jesus Christ comes to this earth. A lot of people don't see it. A lot of people don't want to see it. A lot of people don't want to talk about it, especially the church. The church should be ahead of the world in Bible prophecy. People should know about what Jesus Christ is getting ready to do. And basically, number one, the church should know more about Jesus, because a lot of people in churches confessing Christ, but they don't know him. You got a whole lot of folks running around there talking about they saved and sanctified, and buddy, they raising hell everywhere they go. They're confused. They talk about you. They love the world more than they love God, and they are totally confused. So we'll hear. Me and Brother Tim is here for one reason. One reason. That is, preach Jesus crucified, died,
Amen.
Rose again, coming back again to get a church. I'm not looking to gain the whole world, because the whole world don't have nothing to offer me. The world today, people are trying to gain the world. They're trying to get stuff. They want stuff. They want everything right. that they can get except salvation. And salvation is a key reason why Christ died. He died for the sins of the world, because there was no other way. There was no other way under heaven, under the earth, underneath the earth, that man could be saved but by the blood. Listen to me. The blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's blood is unique. His blood is holy. His blood is righteous. His blood is everlasting. His blood is uncomparable. You cannot comprehend the blood of Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle that God can perform on a human being is salvation. You know that? Oh, come on now. I know he can heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, but the greatest event that a man can experience is the salvation that Jesus brought on Calvary's cross. And this is what the devil is trying to annihilate. He's trying to eliminate it. The churches today don't preach the cross. The preachers don't preach the cross. They don't preach the suffering that Jesus Christ went through once and for all. They don't preach eternal salvation. Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you, neither forsake you. He wasn't talking to the sinner man. He was talking to the saved man. And that means that your salvation is secure. Your salvation is real. Your salvation is indestructible. Why? Because
Amen.
Jesus Christ is up on this rock. What? Rock, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Up on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates, listen, the gates. It didn't say gate. It said gates. So hell got a lot of gates. There's a lot of ways you can get in. Amen. Up on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, Satan cannot destroy the church. Ooh, come on.
Right.
I'm an indestructible man. The devil cannot destroy me. The devil can't get me to turn around. The devil can't get me to do things what God does not permit. If I do things against God that he does not permit, guess what? He will correct me. He will chastise
Amen.
Me. He will whip me. He will put me in a position where I said, Lord, I want to do what you told me to do. Now, if you don't believe that, I'll tell you what you do. Go talk to
Amen.
Jonah. Talk to Jonah, a man that knew God, a man that was related to God. And God told him, say, now, Jonah, I want you to go down there, and I want you to do one thing. I don't want you to take no collection. I don't want you to go down there preaching therapy. I don't want you to be talking about no motivation speeches. I don't want you to be talking about no how much you got and how much you get. I want you to go down there to Nineveh, huh, and preach the gospel of repentance. I want you to tell Nineveh, if they don't repent in 40 days, I'm going to eliminate the city. I'm going to destroy the city. And Jonah had the nerve enough saying to God, He didn't know what he was messing with. He knew God, but he didn't know what he was getting himself to. He said, go down there and preach repentance. Don't go down there preaching what you got and what you done done. Preach repentance into Nineveh to tell them to turn from their wicked ways. And you know what God is doing today? God got some preachers out here. He got some preachers on TV. He got some preachers on the street corner, preachers everywhere, telling the people to repent. I'm not talking about this year dressed up, fancy type preachers that's going out there preaching nothing but money, materialistic things, and preaching how much they got and what they're going to get. That's not preaching. That's not the gospel. That's nothing but foolishness. That's satanic powers. Using what? Using the scripture to damn people's soul. Because some scriptures in the Bible, they have interpreted wrong, and they got it wrong. And let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know your scriptures, he'll get you. And that's what's wrong with the world today. The people don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They go in there and listen to some crackpot preacher. Amen. That's got a three-piece suit on and Stacey Adams shoes and go prance around the pulpit and talk all that yang and all that bang and come out and say, well, man, we collect $250,000 a day. Well, what are you going to do with the money? He going to store it up, buy him a house, and he going to have his lovers on the side, have his women on the side, have his fine cars on the side, get on TV and jump up and down and tell folks how to live without Christ. That's what they're doing. You can't live a sanctified life without Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're coming from, and who you think you are, because Christ is the only way man can live a victorious life. And let me tell you, the Christian life, if you're living right, you're going to suffer Christ. You're going to suffer for righteousness, right, for Christ's sake, because those that live godly, I don't know where people get this idea that when you get saved, you just want to go on a magic carpet and fly all over the world and propagate your prosperity. I don't see where they get this stuff from, but I tell you where they do get it. They get it from the gates of hell, because the Bible said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Let me tell you something. The centerfold of my life is Jesus Christ, his burial, death, and resurrection. I'm here to tell you this evening, we're going to talk about Revelation. I'm going to get in the Revelation just a little bit. I'm going to start in, then I'm going to give it to the brother, but what he said in this 16th chapter about the trumpets. Amen. I'm going to give you a little outline on the 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. There's 22 chapters from first chapter to the 22nd chapter. Now, how long does Revelation cover? Revelation covers 1,007 years. That's how much it covers. 1,007 years. I'm going to tell you where you get seven from. The 1,007 years is the 7 years of tribulation. That's the 7 years. The 7 years of tribulation covers 1,000 years. 6,000 years is already passed. It's gone. It's done. God done worked all the way from the Garden of Eden, all the way across the Babylonian Empire, all across the Assyrian Empire, all across every empire that was on the face of the earth to deal with mankind. And he's been working with mankind for 6,000 years, which covers 6 days he made the heaven and earth. He worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. The seventh day represent the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, because that's the millennium in which Jesus Christ will rule the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. Well, who's ruling the world today? Oh, well, we know. Apostle Paul said, Satan is the god of this age. Satan rules mankind now. He's been ruling mankind for 6,000 years. You want to know why the world is in such a bad shape, all messed up and all screwed up? It's because Satan is in rule. He's in power. He's the power of the air. He rules the air, first and second heaven. And by him ruling first and second heaven, that power was given to him in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and refuted God. Exactly what God told Eve, say, Eve, don't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, the day you eat it, the day you touch it, the day you start bothering that tree, you're going to die.
That's right.
And Eve heard it. Eve heard it. She had ears. She could understand exactly what was going on. But Satan came in the garden after the fall from heaven. He came in the garden, entered into a serpent, standing upright, and spoke through the serpent. And the serpent said, now listen how he talked. Yeah, God said. Huh, what, and I'm going to talk in my vocabulary. What that turkey know about anything? Well, you ain't going to die. You know what God doing? He's holding back knowledge and wisdom from you. And he knows the day you eat thereof, you know. You know Eve. Come on, Eve. Now, you know the day you know you become as little gods, knowing good from evil. It sounds good, but you know something? It's a lie. It's a lie. Because what? Satan is a father of lies. Mm-hmm. He believes lies. He cohabitates lies. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a father of lies. He'll lie in the morning, lie in the evening, lie at night. He'll lie asleep. He'll lie anything that he can get away with and try to fool you. He'll lie about it. And he can take the truth and put a little lie in it, and it's still a lie, because let me tell you, the lie has nothing to do with truth, and the truth has nothing to do with lie. So what happened? Eve said, oh my God. Oh, look at that tree. Man, ain't it beautiful? It would make one wise. It desired to make one wise. Oh, my Lord. And she knew what God had already told her. And she said, oh, Satan, you made it sound so tempting, so open. And I got a will to leave it alone, and I got a will to go ahead and disobey God. And God had already told her, now you're going to die if you do it.
Right.
So he took the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Some people say it was the apple, but I can't find it in the Bible where it says the apple. It says fruit. Now, I don't know. There's all kinds of fruit. There's bananas, there's mangoes, all kind of fruit. But he said she touched it, and when he touched it, it felt good. Oh, man. And when she started feeling good, she plucked it off with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And guess what? When she had it in her hand, she said, oh, I just want to see what it tastes like. Mmm. Tastes good. When she tasted, guess what? Nothing happened. This is Satan work. This is how Satan worked. He went to the woman because he knew that the woman could be deceived. He knew that the woman could be deceived. Because why? She's the weaker vessel.
Right.
Satan didn't go to Adam. Adam was a man. He was the head. He named all the animals. He was smart. Mm-hmm. He was unique. He was, oh, man. He named every animal that you see on the face of the earth today. He was the head of what? Creation. And the devil in the modern technology and in the modern age that we're living in, men are trying to make the woman the head, and she is not the head. She is the one that's supposed to walk on the side of Adam, because she's taken out the side of Adam, and they become one flesh. Amen. Why don't you say amen? Why? Because the day the women have took off their dresses and put on pants, they got their lunch bucket, they done had babies, they give it to babysitting and running out there trying to make that money, and then they try to look good, and don't you know it's more dangerous for a woman to go out at night than it is for a man? Why? Because she's vulnerable to be attacked by a man. Woo! Mm-hmm. So the man going out at night, hey, he still can get mugged, but somebody's going to get hurt if he's big enough. But what I'm trying to say, the woman gave what? The fruit of knowledge of good and evil to who? Adam. And Adam looked at it, and Adam knew that if he eat that fruit, done. And guess what he done?
That's right.
He sweet talked him. She laid something on him. She gave him that wheat. She gave him that hip. She gave him something to convince him it ain't going to hurt you, baby dog. You sweet thing. You know. Lucifer told me that it ain't going to hurt you. And when Adam ate it, both of their eyes were open. And you want to know why the world is in such shape it is? Because when Adam ate that fruit of knowledge of good and evil, man fell in sin. Degradation. He fell into iniquity. He fell into eradicate of pure sin. And ever since then, man is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And the creation today is wallowing in sin. They're laying in sin. They're doing things are rebellious against God. And God has let man go for 6,000 years and give him the opportunity to do what? He gave him an opportunity beyond opportunity. He gave him six dispensation opportunity to prove himself that he needed God. He needed love. He needed joy. He needed peace. He needed understanding. And man said, I don't want that. You know what I want? I want to have a good time. I want a party. I want my women. I want my drinking. I want my gambling. I want to do what I want to do. I ain't paying no attention to no Ten Commandments. I ain't paying no attention to the grace of God. I ain't paying no attention to the mercy of God. I'm not paying no attention to the cross that he died on, because that to me is food. Foolishness for those that perish, but those that have power of God is a power of God into salvation. And the world today is saying, I ain't worried about the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why you got so much killing and murdering and raping, and you got everything. I can't even name all of them. You got diseases spreading across the country. You got tornadoes. You got earthquakes. You got all kinds of scientific experiments on the human race, and man has failed. The reason why, because God said, all right, I'm going to give you an opportunity to try innocent. And when man was innocent, he made an elf. He failed. And then the Lord said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to try conscious. And he failed in conscious, because when the flood came, it destroyed almost every creature on the face of the earth, but except Noah and his three sons and his sister-in-law, and only eight souls were saved. After that, they tell me, I'm going to try you in self-government. And ever since there's a government of man been on the earth, it has been nothing but tragedy. And let me tell you how many governments have been on the earth, and none of them have been successful. The Egyptian government is failure. Mm-hmm. They tell me the government is failure. They tell me the Babylonian government is failure. The Median Persian government is failure. The Grecian Empire was failure. They tell me the Roman Empire is failure. And they tell me the revived Roman Empire is going to be revived in the last days, which is called the One World Government. And the One World Government is getting ready to take place, and it's going to be failure, because the One World Government is going to go into the 7-year tribulation. And now we at a place now where men are tired of world governments and world dictators coming on the scene to try to make the world a little better. They done tried 45 presidents, and none of them have brought world peace. They done tried all kind of dictators and socialism and Taoism, and they ain't nothing but failure, because man is a failure without God. And I'm going to tell you this evening, this afternoon, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know him as your Redeemer, if you don't know him as your one that can save your soul from sin, you're going for failure. Because without Jesus Christ, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And if you can't enter the kingdom of God, there's only one place you can go, and that is hell itself. And they tell me hell is large, and they tell me hell is full. They tell me hell has no respect for person. They tell me the head man of hell is Lucifer, because he knows if he can get you from going to Calvary's cross, if he can get you from to reject Jesus Christ, and you die without Jesus Christ in your life. That's what Brother Timothy and Brother Bazard is trying to imprint on your mind. Going to church is good. You should go to church. Sometimes you got to go to the grocery store to get food. You got to go to the garage to get your car fixed. You got to go to the doctor to see what's wrong with you. Now, the Bible says, fail not to assemble yourselves together for a matter of song. For we know what? We know that the day is approaching. And we go to church to learn about God. We go to church to learn about the cross. We learn about the resurrection. We go to church to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? We go to church to have fellowship one with another and to encourage one another. But let me tell you, more folks have got hurt in church more than they have got hurt on the street corner. Good God Almighty, because you got a lot of people up in there don't know nobody though Jesus Christ. They don't have the love of God. They don't have the peace of God. They have a form of God, but they ain't got no power. And the power is through the redemption blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the next one that we failed in was promise, was law. at Mount Sinai. Israel failed at Mount Sinai. They couldn't obey the law, and God had to slay 3,000 folks. He got an F under the law. And then God said, I'm going to promise you, when Christ came, Israel failed. They rejected him. And then he said, I'll give you another opportunity, the sixth dispensation, the grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. And man is under grace right now. And guess what? He has failed God. He don't want God's grace. He don't appreciate God's grace. And God is saying, my grace is sufficient enough to keep you. And men today are trying to be kept by money. Some people are trying to be kept by sex. Some people trying to by their prestige and their money and the color of their skin. And God said, without grace, good God Almighty, you can't make it. It's not by works, least any man should boast. It's nothing but the grace of God that he woke you up this morning.
Amen.
It's the grace of God that woke you up last year and this year. And let me tell you, it's going to be the grace of God to get you up tomorrow morning. And yet still, you don't realize that when he give you grace, he's giving you an opportunity. He giving you an opportunity to what? Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. You got some wicked ways. A lot of people say, well, I ain't done nothing. Yes, you have. I can name one thing you have done that's going to put you right in hell. What is it? What is it, preacher? I don't know. I don't read my Bible. It's what? Unbelief. Unbelief is going to put every human being in hell. In unbelief. What is unbelief? You disbelieve. You resent. You deny. You reject what? You reject Jesus Christ being the Son of God in the flesh. In other words, Jesus Christ is God's Son in the flesh. It means that he is God Almighty in the flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. In other words, Jesus Christ is God Almighty hanging on the cross. And when he hung on the cross, somebody had to die for what?
Come on, doctor.
See, it's devastating. It's cruel. Look at Ukraine. Look at Russia. Look at the United States. Look at the nations of the world that's under sin and living for the devil. Guess what? They're killing each other. The families are tore up. The youth are going crazy. They don't have nobody to teach them. Nobody's taking them to Sunday school. Nobody's giving them the biblical training of Christianity, not Buddhism, not Shintoism, not Jehovah's Witness, not the Baptist teaching. I'm talking about God's word. I'm talking about God's spirit.
Right.
I'm talking about God's power to change your life so that you won't have to die and go to hell. You're catching hell here. You're catching hell here, and then you die and go to hell. You crazy.
Come on, man.
I'm not talking to you personally. I'm talking about the devil. He is crazy. He know he can't get redeemed. He don't have no blood system. He's anointed cherubim. He's a created angel. He's a spirit being. He cannot be redeemed. He cannot be saved. But you can. You can be saved. What? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you have a blood system. And God wouldn't be able to save us until he became Jesus Christ in the flesh with a blood system. And that blood system was shed. Ooh, good God Almighty. Was shed on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. Here we got Easter coming up pretty soon. And you talking about people around here talking about Easter bunnies and hiding eggs. That ain't about eggs. It ain't about no bunny. It's about a sin offering. It's about the God of gods and the Lord of lords. It's talking about the one that became flesh. It's talking about the one that was born of a Virgin Mary. It's talking about the one that was raised in Nazareth. It's talking about the one that walked on the water, cast out devils, and did all kinds of miracles in Jerusalem and Judea and in the uppermost parts of the world. We're talking about the one that took Gethsemane. And that's what he said. Father! Father! Let this cup pass from me. Let it pass. Humanity talking to divinity. God talking to himself. Let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but your will be done. And the Father talked to the Son himself. You got to go. You got to go. If you don't go, Preacher Bazaar won't have salvation. Brother Tim won't be able to be saved. The whole creation will die and go to hell. I don't want nobody to go. God is telling us, I don't want nobody to go to hell. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So you can escape the wrath of God that's going to come up on the earth during the time of the tribulation. And the tribulation will start. The tribulation will start pretty soon. The rapture of the church will occur. How do you know, preacher? And I'm not talking from no crystal ball. I'm not talking to Madam Walker. And I ain't got no chicken bones and blood shaking them around in the little tub trying to find out which way I'm going. I'm going straight to the word of God, because he said at the name of Jesus, every knee going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. I'm talking about the one that took Calvary's mountain. I'm talking about the one in the book of Revelation. Revelation covered the period of what? 1,007 years. The first 7 years will be starting at what chapter? And I'm going to run this down and I'm going to give it to the brother. At the first chapter of Revelation, we go through what? We go through what? We go through the seven churches. The seven churches covers what? 2,000 years. That's what the church. The first 2,000 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're at the end of the 2,000 years. The 2,000 years will end. What? What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the 2,000 years that will fulfill 6,000 years of the human race on the planet. And that will end in 2029. 2029. Why? Because 2029 comes 2030. 2030 is a whole number that completes what the first, the beginning of a Levite becoming a priest, 30 years old. Jesus Christ was 30 years old when he started preaching. He was 33 and a half when he ascended into heaven. But what I'm trying to tell you, the first three chapters, if you read the book of Revelation, the first three chapters of Revelation covers the church ages. And there are seven church ages. And out of all seven churches, only two, Jesus Christ said, hallelujah, you are doing exactly what I want you to do. You are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're suffering for my son by being cut in pieces. You've been put in line arenas. You've been burned alive because you hold fast the faith in the church of Smyrna. Smyrna is the second church that Jesus Christ was pleased with. Why? Because they were standing up for righteousness, the holiness, and sanctification. It was telling people Jesus Christ is God Almighty wrapped up in human flesh. And then the next church at the close of the church age will be Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the evangelistic church, the church of brotherly love. That's the church that spread abroad around the world. And the reason why it's spread abroad around the world, because man's technology now, the gospel can be preached around the world 24/7, day and night. You can have a cell phone and hear the gospel. You can have internet, have a spread the gospel. Have Twitter and have the gospel preached to you right from your cell phone. And that's the evangelist church, because now the gospel, the gospel is being preached around the world through the evangelistic ministry, because the churches, the last seven churches, the other seven churches is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the end time eschatology, the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're not living like nothing. They're doing what they want to do. They're cussing, lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremongering. They're doing everything. Their wife swapping. They're having sex arguments. They're going to idolatry temples and drinking blood. Oh, my God. You just don't know. If you will uncover what God looks at on this planet every day, you will curl up in a knot and run like hell, because sin is unrevealed until God reveals it. And God is going to reveal sin in the book of Revelation. That's why it's a terrifying book for Lucifer. The devil don't like this book. He hates it. He hates it because his defeat, he can't stand Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ is going to do to the false churches. Because I want to let you know, there's a true church good God Almighty. And there's a false church. And then there's a true church where false believers, false unbelievers have mingled in amongst the believers and trying to sway them away from the biblical truth. That's why God tells them in the book of Revelation, come out from among them and be ye separated. If you in a church, if you in a church where the preacher is whoremongering, if you in a church where he committed adultery, churches where people just dress any kind of old way they want to, come in there with high skirt dresses on, the bosom all out, singing in the choir, and you got a whole lot of churchmen that like to flirt around each other and talk all that old trash and talk what they got, you better get out of there because what? They're in the flesh. You're working in the flesh. But let me tell you, you need to get in a spiritual God born again believer where it's just full of love and mercy and concern about men's souls. Revelation 1, 2, and 3, church age. Last church age is what? Laodicea. And we're living in that church age now. After Laodicea, the fourth chapter of Revelation, we see John saying these words real quick. It said, John said, I saw. He said, look here. I'm on the island of Patmos. And when he said, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it was a trumpet talking with me saying this, come up hither. I will show you these things which must be hereafter. Here's John. And he is representing the rapture of the church because he's caught up. A door was open. A trumpet was blowing. There's a day coming when the trumpet's going to blow and the portals of heaven's going to open and the church is going to go up into the portal and they're going to shut the portal. They're going to shut the portal. The church is gone. And when it's gone, it's going to leave all the wicked people who do not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior on this earth. When they left on this earth, the church will be in the presence of the judgment seat of Christ at the bema seat, and there the righteous, oh Lord have mercy, look here, the righteous, those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lamb of God, God's blood, eternal blood, powerful blood, and he has washed my soul free from sin. I'm free from sin, but yet still I got this carnal nature to deal with. I'm working on it. I'm getting stronger each and every day. Every day I'm getting stronger. Why? Because the spirit, amen, has power over the flesh. Woo! So when we get to heaven, we're not going to be judged for wrath. We're going to be judged for our works.
Amen.
And our works, will be rewarded by what? 5 crowns. I can't go into it too deep. Take too long to do it. But we got 5 crowns for all born-again believers. It's going to be. And when the rapture of the church come, it's going to be a worldwide universal rapture. All those that know Jesus Christ, babies will be gone. Babies that's born deformed, babies that's born stillborn, babies that's born with all kinds of ailments and everything. The Bible tells me the sins of a baby is on the innocent. And when Jesus Christ died, he died for the sins of the innocent that have not come acquainted to sin, yet still they were born in sin. Well, Jesus Christ born was resurrected for the Adamic nature of Adam. So that's covered to the age of, some people say it's the age of between 12 and 13 years old. So what I'm saying now, all the babies and infants will be caught up in the hospital. Good God Almighty, and the earth will be what? Void of all born-again believers, and those that have not come to accountability will be gone. You hear what I say? G-O-N-E, gone. And then, as I get ready to give it over to the brother, I want to run through these four horses real quick, and then the brother going to take over. John looked in the sixth chapter. That's the sixth chapter. He sees a white horse. He sees a red horse. He sees a black horse. He sees a pale, sick-looking horse. These horses represent and symbolize an event that's going to happen, and this symbolizes the white horse in Revelation 6 chapter represent the Antichrist. The Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
He is here on earth today. He's alive. He's waiting for what? He's waiting for the rapture. Then we got the red horse that represent war. The next war that's coming on the scene is Gog and Magog. And I know right now it's at a deluge now. It's kind of dropped back a little bit. But what's going on, Putin is going to what? He's going to reestablish himself. And when he reestablishes himself, it'll be around in the month of August and September, because August and September, since Russia is going under a good sanction. They're sanctioned. They're taking everything away from Russia, and it's going to leave him in poverty. It's going to leave him in a condition that the Russian people are going to wonder what Putin's going to do. But Putin said, I got a plan that nobody knows right now. But God said, I got a plan that I'm going to plan for you, because when you come down out of the northern parts of Russia and come down on Israel, on the mountains of Israel, I'm going to cause you, put hooks in your jaw, and I'm going to draw you back. And the question, will the church, good God Almighty, will the church be here? Lord have mercy, will the church be here when Russia attack Israel? And I'm going to tell you this, the church will not be here.
Amen.
It'll be gone, because God is not going to let his church go through no more destruction that we already are going through. And I get, sometimes I tell you how I feel. I get so depressed. I get depressed because I said, Lord, look at the people that's dying and don't know Jesus Christ. Look at some of the church folks, how they live and don't know Jesus Christ. Look at some of the young folks. It gets depressing to me because to me, my spirit says, I want everybody to be saved, but I know everybody can't be saved. And I can imagine how God Almighty feels. Oh, he feels hurt. He feels neglected. He feels rejected. All that he done. Woo, look what he done for you, teenager. If you 15, 16, 17, 13, look what he done for you. Oh, yes, I know you cool now. You listening to JB, Jay-Z, and all the pop women and the pop men, celebrities, and you popping and you jamming. You got your little tattoo. You got your little short skirts on, and you just prancing around. Oh, man, let's have fun. But look what Jesus done for you to save you from sin, save you from going to a devil's hell. Because let me tell you something, George E. Bazard, I'm going to tell you right now from the word of God, there is a hell to shun and a hell again. And you need Jesus Christ. You know, young folks, you know you need. Church member, amen, you've been going to church for years and you have never experienced the power of God in your life. You don't love nobody. You hatred. You got malice in you. You got stubbornness in you. You want to have it your way. What you need to do, come to the cross, fall on your crusty knees, fall on your arthritic knees or whatever knees you got, and call on the name of Jesus Christ, because the wrath of God is getting ready to fall upon this earth.
I'm going to say this,
and I'm going to give it to you, brother. The black horse represents famine, and famine is already in the land. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's going to get worse.
Right.
We go into 2022, it's going to get worse. And the last horse is the pale, sick-looking horse.
Greenish-looking
horse. And what? Listen what follows it. Death and hell followed him. So those that follow the Antichrist is going to have to face the war, going to have to face famine, ain't going to have to face diseases that's cropping up on the face of the earth. Corona ain't nothing compared to what's getting ready to hit this planet.
Right.
Because number one, the wrath of God is getting ready to hit this planet, and Jesus Christ is calling out. He's calling out people day by day. Come on in and kneel at the foot of the cross. For if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
That's what
you don't
want
to have to go to the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is here. The Antichrist is alive. And the last three and one half years, just like the brother said, the last 3.5 years is going to be hell on earth. It will be so devastating that you won't be able to trust nobody. You won't be able to trust yourself, your mama, your daddy, and the whole demonic demons will be after you and trying to destroy you and eliminate you. And the only ones that will survive is the only ones that put their faith in Jesus Christ. God bless you. God look up on you. Let me tell you something. Confess with your mouth. Stretch out your hands right now. Lift up your hands and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I'm low down. I'm low down. I denied you. I rejected you. I need you right now. I confess with my mouth, and I believe with all my heart that you actually, realistically, you genuinely, it's a fact that you died for me. Woo! You died for me that I wouldn't have to go to hell. Save my soul tonight. Save it right now. Because I don't know if I'm going to wake up in the morning. I don't know,
Father
God don't know if he's going to wake up in the morning. You don't know if he's going to wake up in the morning. Now, why you want to die without Christ and then go on to hell? Why don't you die with Christ? And if you die without Christ before you die, you'll go on to heaven. And nobody can stop you. Why? Because you confess Christ. You told the world. Forget you, demons and devils. Forget you, warlocks. Forget you, Hollywood. Forget you, football, basketball. Forget you having parties. I hate that stuff. That stuff is destructive, and it's destroying souls of men today.
Right.
Don't be in Jesus loves you. Brother, go ahead and take it.
Amen. Now, you going real tough on them, brother. Amen. Going real tough on them. Amen. I tell you right now, amen, time is running short. Amen.
Yes,
as
it
you
is,
said, amen. Amen. And as you
it's
said,
running.
It's definitely running. Amen. Who wants to go to bed? Not for certain. Amen. A lot of
Come
people
on.
Gonna wake up. There's a lot of people who went to bed yesterday, last night, knew they were going to be here today. They're no longer here. There's a lot of people that woke up yesterday morning that thought they were going to make it to the day. They're no longer
Come
here.
On, preacher.
So many people die and leave this world daily. Souls are pouring up. The Bible says that hell shall enlarge itself.
Yeah.
Amen. Hell shall enlarge itself. Amen. This is real.
Brother.
This is real truth. This is nothing to play with. We're not joking. We're not playing. Amen. We are reading you the word. Amen. Amen. And I want to show you, so I want to go back over to Revelation, the 16th chapter.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Amen. And I want to kind of freestyle, and I'm going to give it back to the brother. Amen. To close it out. But I just want to kind of, amen. The brother said something about salvation. Salvation is not of worth, least any man could boast.
Come
Nobody
on.
That, see, here's the danger about believing that your salvation is through works, and the danger of saying that you can lose your salvation. Here's the danger. When you say that, you're taking power from the cross.
Come on, preacher.
You're taking power. From the brother said, he said, Christ made a decision. Amen. And he said, God had to answer himself and say, yeah, I will go. He said, if this cup, Father, this cup could be taken away from me. Amen. Please
amen.
Do so. But he couldn't.
Come on.
Because no one else was found worthy. So he
Come
had
on.
To go. Don't you know, like the brother said, that famine is already starting. Amen. The famine has already started. And I don't know if I said this Wednesday night. No, I was under the weather. Maybe I did. Maybe I did. I think I did. But I'm going to say it again. My brother came over about 2 or 3 weeks ago and said, Tim, don't you know that there are tanks? I just saw some tanks. I said, no, you ain't seen no tanks. He said, yeah. He said, they're on the railroad. They're on the train taking military equipment. I don't believe we just shipping military equipment. There have been some European nations that have already said they got to get in the war because they realize that Putin's not going to stop. He's not going to stop.
No.
He's bagging up a little bit. But again, as I told you before in the beginning, this is chess, not checkers. He is not playing.
Come on.
He's going,
come on.
He is going all the way in on this thing, and we can't sit back and ignore it like this ain't happening. No, this is happening. Stop lying to folks. Tell them, they tell, oh, you know, he gonna stop. We're going to sanction it. He ain't concerned about no stuff. He knew the consequences before he even started the war. He knew the consequences. This man lined up at the borders. I said, no, we have no intent on this. We're not going to do that. Next thing you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, they are bombing women and children. And just the other day, they bombed a train station. They killed like 50 people. Body pieces scattered everywhere. 50 people. Body pieces just scattered. I said, man, they better quit playing with this guy. He ain't playing. He is on a mission. Amen. This has been prophesied over 2,000 years ago, this stuff that's happening today.
Amen.
Come on, and you can't listen to your leadership of the world because they're designed to lie to you anyway. Why? Because amen. They're going to lie to you anyway. These folks all serve Satan. This is a brotherhood of cult. Amen. And this is what this is what they're doing. So we are shaking. We are ringing the alarm, sounding the bell, whatever you want to say. We are trying to wake up the church. Don't you know that right after a war and right leading up to a war, famine, they're talking about how the whole world is affected by this war.
Yeah,
of course it is. I saw one place gas prices $4.50. I said, man, look at here. $4.50. Our gas prices here, amen. I think Sam's is trying to help us out. So if anybody got a Sam's membership, if you don't got one, now's the time to go get you one. Because Sam's does everything they can to keep that gas price. It ain't that low, but it's kind of low. They at $3.40. They was at $3.60. They dropped it down 20 cents. I went and got gas. I think it was like $3.43 at Sam's. I filled my tank up. I said, man, you probably going to get this low for a minute. And the summer's coming. That bad boy, that means they probably going to jump them gas prices to $4. Man, that's going to be a hurting on the economy. That's going to be a hurting on the economy. And the overcrowding, they're talking about bringing people in from Russia and Ukraine, bringing them into the country. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. I know people feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for everybody. The people from Haiti, from Jamaica, the people from South America that's coming on the border. Man, right now we got over 100,000 people lined up outside of our borders from different nations, from different countries. And the government was secretly flying people into New York, bringing them into, and people got mad about it. Hey, look, I get it, but our economy is going to only be able to sustain so much. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Your only escape. I saw something the other day when they were talking about how the rich got like a bunker. And I knew this. I knew. I said, man, I knew what something it was up to. Just like that movie 2012. It's like this elite club. And I knew these folks were gathering up money for some reason. If you want to be in, you probably have to have so much money. Probably to these underground. I've been hearing about these underground cities that they got in the U.S. all over the world. The underground cities. And that's probably where they're going to go. Underground bunkers. You probably got to have so many hundreds of millions of dollars just to get a ticket per person.
Come on,
a family of four. Man, you got to pay. That ticket probably cost you $25 million a person. I bet you it ain't cheap, doctor. They probably got food up under there. Oh, they think they're going to escape. They going to get by that first 3.5 years. The rich, the wealthy, the super rich, the elite, the so-called elite, they going to get by that. Most of them going to make it past that 3.5 years. But, boy, let me tell you. We're talking about the generals in the world, the admirals and presidents and kings. We're talking about the family, the top so-called people in the world. They have sold their souls. They're going to get by that first 3.5 years. Oh, but as it says in Revelation, the 6th chapter, I believe it's verse 12. I want to just say it. Let me go there real quick.
Praise Revelation, God.
Amen. There it is. Verse 16. I said, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Don't you know that that's not symbolic? That's real.
That's real.
Amen. That's real. Heaven's going to open up. The sky's going to open up. And they're going to see him that sat on the throne. And, man, let me tell you, he ain't going to be too happy. These folks will have the mark of the beast in their forehead. And they're going to say, hide us from him that sat upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Amen. They're going to see the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they're going to be terrified. Ain't gonna be nowhere for them to go. Amen.
Amen.
Rocks of the mountain. Amen. The world government is gonna run. They ain't gonna be able to hide. The government ain't gonna be able to hide them. All the ability and all this technology they got, they're gonna have these underground. They think they're gonna be able to hide from God. You gonna be able to hide from God? You can go deep in there as all you want. You go in there into the hollow earth theory if you want to. You ain't going to be able to run from God. I don't care where you go.
No, sir.
Almost down out of hell with some of the fallen angels and, I mean, with some of the demons and the folks in there. You ain't going to be able to hide from God. God's spirit is everywhere. You can't hide from God. Everywhere. The only thing you can do.
The only thing you can do.
Receive salvation. Amen. I'm going to
cover the rest
of these bowls, and I'm going to turn it back over to the brother. But I want you to know the only thing that you can do, all you have to do to escape this nonsense, because that's what I call it, is nonsense for you to accept the mark of the beast and avoid getting your head cut off, because ain't nothing but the devil. It's just simply like the two young men did last week in church. Confess with your mouth. And
come
believe
on.
In your heart. And the Bible said, thou shalt be saved.
Be saved.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all you got to do. Now watch this. Watch this. Amen. You have the fourth bowl. The sun scorches all mankind. And you ain't going to be able to get up under a shade tree because most of the tree is going to be burnt up. Hey, man, we talked to Bob. The trees will be burnt up. And you want to be able to put no sunblock on. That sunblock ain't going to be able to help you. That sun's going to be so hot.
No, man.
I don't think 110, 120 degrees. That thing will be hotter than that. It's gonna
hotter
scorch.
Than that.
In other words, you're going to burn you alive. I remember in Dallas, when that heat get over 100 degrees, they send out this alert. It's on your phone. It's on the radio. They send out an alert, say, hey, get inside. You need to be inside because it's too hot. They try to warn people like to run and jog. Hey, don't be out here running and jogging because it's too dangerous. Get inside till it cools off to the evening time. The sun here to go down. Amen. It's going to be so hot that it's going to scorch them. It's going to burn them alive.
Yeah.
Amen.
Lord, hammer.
Yes, sir. Have mercy. The fifth bowl, total darkness. Not some darkness. In the fourth trump, the sun, one third of the sun, one third of the moon, and one third of the stars are dark. But in the fifth bowl, total darkness. You don't know what it means to be. Amen. If you
have
to go in your room or your bathroom, you cut off the light, it's total darkness. Amen. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. That's
come
how dark it's going to be. It's going to be total darkness. And, man, it's going to be hell on earth. The
hell
sixth
on
bowl.
Earth.
Hell on earth, doctor. The
hell
sixth bowl.
Brother.
You're coming over to the brother. Euphrates dries. Amen.
Dries.
And we believe that.
Yeah.
We believe that the armies, and they believe that this is where the Chinese or the Asian armies are going to come together, amen. And they're going to come down to Euphrates, and they're going to all these world powers, they going to gather together for what? Armageddon. Revelation, the 16th chapter, sets up the stage of the return, because God's wrath is going to be just turn man up. And they think they're going to gather together to fight God and his army. Christ going to wipe them out off the face of the earth. Amen. That's the sixth bowl.
Amen, brother.
They're going to gather together for the battle of Armageddon, which is the greatest battle on earth. Amen. Armageddon.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that's not World War III. Some people get World War III and Armageddon mixed up. They're two separate wars. So World War III going to come first, which we believe could possibly going to happen towards the end of this year, right after the church is gone. We believe, amen. We're not trying to predict or say, but we just, you know, we according to the signs of times, amen. Amen.
Amen.
But Armageddon is something totally different. Now watch this. The seventh bowl, the earthquake falls, amen, all cities, Babylon city, cited, big size hell, amen. Maybe I can come back next week and read the scriptures on that. But I want to share that with you. Big size hell. The brother said that those hell is 75 pounds. Man, I can't imagine something 75 pounds coming out of the sky, probably coming down at 20, 30 miles per hour or faster. That thing hits you in the head, I'm quite sure it's going to do some damage, doctor.
Oh,
if it don't kill you, it can crack your skull, I'll tell you that. That's heavy. 75 pounds. Man, if you drop 75 pounds off the Empire State Building, man, that'll kill you.
Yeah,
so imagine that thing coming from heaven, from the sky. Lord have mercy. What manner of man or woman you are to be at this day and time, you should be seeking Christ for your salvation.
Brother, amen,
ahead,
brother.
Hey, go ahead, doctor. Finish.
Ooh,
touch,
man,
we'll be back
you,
on
that's,
tomorrow.
That's chilling. That's chilling to my bone. To hear what God wants to do.
Oh, glory.
He wants to do with those that believe in. He wants to save you from this. He wants to save the liar, the drunkard, the backbiter,
right,
the church hypocrite. He wants to sing the church goer. He wants to sing the choir singing song, but they don't know what they're singing. Have never had experience with the loving Christ and let him come into their life. And the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. And God's wrath is going to be poured upon the earth in the latter part of the 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years, as you said, is going to be a little light work where Satan is going to bring in a lie to deceive many, and a lot of people are going to believe. And the one reason that Lucifer is going to come in the Antichrist, because the Jews believe that this man is coming, it's going to be Jesus Christ, and he's not. And they're going to build a temple. They're in preparation now to build a temple for the Antichrist, thinking it's Jesus Christ. That will happen in the first part of the tribulation. And those that have accepted Christ will be raptured up before this happens. And after this happens, then the world's going to break off, and Satan is going to have the deed to take control of the planet for 7 years. And God say, now, when the end of the tribulation comes, I'm going to take the deed away from you at the battle of Armageddon, and I'm going to wipe you, your army, your foes, your so-called preachers, your so-called deacons, your so-called saints of God that call themselves a Christian and living like the devil. I'm going to separate them. My friends, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. Don't let Hollywood jive you. Don't let sports world jive you. Don't let Victoria, what's that called? Victoria, those negligees and those women that men are craving after, having sex with animals and incest and lesbianism. Don't let that take you to hell, because if you don't repent of it, you're going to hell. And then when you get to hell, you're going to say, Oh, what a fool I was not to believe those two preachers that was preaching on the internet. I was a fool not to listen to them. They were telling me the truth. Oh, I wish I would have listened to them. Too late. Don't wait too late. Hell is hot. Hell is